Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Can we talk?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who do you think you're talking to?
We got to work on our communication.
If you had to give yourself a grade on how well you communicate with your spouse, what would you give yourself? Now, don't grade your spouse, grade yourself. Go. Well, how did you do? I'm Jim Burns, and if you're like most married people, then you recognize that there's room for improvement in the area of communication. I know there is in my life, and that's why I've invited Dr. David Hawkins, the relationship doctor, to join us today on Homeward. If you'd like to learn how you can communicate better with your spouse, then stay tuned today to Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Have to brag a little bit here. In 2011, there were two APU graduates who were named Fulbright Scholars to Malaysia and Bulgaria, respectively. Also, faculty member Xander Koops, representing APU and Fulbright in Latvia. And the list goes on. It's an outstanding academic institution. We are privileged that the Homeward Center for Youth and Family is headquartered at Azusa Pacific University. And if you want to learn more about advanced degrees in youth ministry or our Youth Sphere certificate program, which is a great way to supplement the college education you already have in youth ministry, go to homeward.com and hit the APU icon, or just go to apu.edu. Let's get into part one of today's program now. Saying It So He'll Hear You, a marriage conversation with Dr. David Hawkins. Here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Better communication with your spouse. Who doesn't need this today? Dr. David Hawkins is with us. Great privilege to have him. We call him the relationship doctor. He's the advice columnist to crosswalk.com, marriage and family therapist for nearly 30 years, founder of the Pacific Psychological Associates in Washington State, raised in the Northwest, lives in Puget Sound, a beautiful area, a great person. Welcome back to Homeward.
Jim, great to be with you.
Well, I am so glad you could be there. I was reading your book on the plane coming out here, because we're not in our studios. We're in studios here in Denver. Interestingly enough, the person next to me said, "That looks like a really interesting book. I'm not really communicating with my spouse right now."
Yeah.
I bet you get a lot of that.
You know what? It's kind of a cliche, Jim, that communication is the key to the marriage, you know. And so many folks, they sort of take it for granted, in my opinion. They think that they're communicating effectively, but when they come in the door, when they come into my practice, the couple comes in, almost always it's the way that they are communicating. You know, Jim, I'm asked the question, what are the things that people fight about the most? It's really not the things. It's not sex, and it's not money, and it's not stepkids. Those can be thorny things. It is the way they communicate. I think we ought to say to couples and to people, we ought to be just saying to them, if you are not working at it, I mean, if you don't feel a little bit of a strain, almost like preparing for a marathon, you know, if you're not, if you're not grinding it out someplace, you are in a cave, or check your pulse.
What do you say to the person who says, I am just tired of fighting. Is this as good as it's going to get?
You know what? Fighting is draining. Fighting is draining. And couples, because most couples, while lots of them are buying the books and they're listening to your programs and they're doing the right things, you know, I would say a majority of folks really aren't working at it. And so they are fighting, they are nitpicking. What I call it, I see them and they banter and they bicker. And not sarcastically, Jim, but I look at couples and I say to them, I said it just 2 days ago in my practice. I looked at them, it was a couple that came in for the first time, and they went right at it as if I wasn't sitting there. So like, well, folks, hold it. I'm in the room here, and you're paying me a lot of money to help you. But I said to them, I said, is this what you do? Do you do this at home all the time? And of course, they kind of stop and look and go, well, what? Well, you're bickering. I mean, you're just da-da-da-da, attack, defend, attack, defend, attack, defend, attack, defend. And they say, I finally got them to at least be aware of what they were doing in that initial session. And that was a step in the right direction. But yes, they told me they are absolutely exhausted. And it is. Fighting is exhausting.
And yet, oftentimes, people go to that because they just go to these destructive patterns. Help us understand what some destructive patterns are, because sometimes they may not even know they have destructive patterns, because maybe it's the same pattern that their mom and dad did in another relationship.
Sure. Well, there are many destructive patterns, but just a couple of them. I mean, first of all, let's just start off from the very, very beginning. And let's set a basis here. I used the word awareness a moment ago. If you're not aware of what you're doing, then here's that great cliche. Do what you've always done. You're going to get what you've always got. Ooh. And so that's what I said to this couple. I said, you know, folks, if we don't change anything, you're going to keep doing what you've done and you're going to get what you've got. And then there's the other cliche that I love. Do what you've always done and expect different results. And that's called Insanity. So anyway, so the first destructive pattern would be simply not being aware of our mistakes, not being aware of the patterns that we get into. So we've got to, I mean, that's what counseling is all about. That's what the first several sessions are about, is can we create an awareness in this room? You know, this 12 by 12 cubicle that I call an office. Actually, it's not so bad. But anyway, you're going to come in here and we're going to create an awareness. And then we're going to look at what you do. And in a nutshell, Jim, what so many couples do is they do this attack, defend. And I really teach them very hard to get out of that, to listen, to validate one another. And boy, when we start doing that, it's home free. It's a hot knife through butter. It really is.
A lot of people are just simply defensive when it comes to conflict. They basically don't want to even hear the other person. They just want to deal with their own defensive
nature. Well, I'm going to partially agree with you. they certainly are defensive. But if you listened, if we literally kind of froze the interaction, if we put a couple on video and if we watched them, the person who is defensive is responding to someone, to their mate, who was attacking in some way. And it might be a very minuscule attack. It might be a sarcastic tone. It might be one word said wrong, one word turned sideways. It might be a misinterpretation of what I just said. There's something that happens, and that's where I have to slow down the process. In fact, that's a skill for couples to learn, is slow down the process. Watch what we're doing, be mindful and be aware of how we're talking to each other. Defensiveness, as I said in my book, is actually can be a positive thing. You know, because if I'm talking to you and I feel tweaked, I feel like, ooh, I feel like I have to defend myself. If I gain the skills necessary, if I can stop it right there, and if I can be mindful enough to say to you, whoa, Jim, you know, let's just slow down here for a second. Or if I could say to my wife, Christy, and this is when I'm mindful. Okay, this is when I'm aware. This is when I'm at the top of my game. There are times that I'm playing out of the sand.
Sure.
if you know what I mean.
Understand.
So when I'm at the top of my game, I can stop the process and say, Christy, you know, whoa, I'm feeling defensive for a second. Can we look at what just happened? And then and then when we're at the top of our games, we look at what just happened, we change it, we change the interaction. She takes responsibility for what she might have just done, or I take responsibility for why I got tweaked, and then we can take the higher road then.
It's interesting when you say the game, because then I'm not much of a golfer, but I played golf in college and have kind of now given it up because I can't get that little white ball into that hole.
Understood.
But when the coach would say, here's what you're doing wrong,
yes.
At first it felt awkward,
yes.
But after a while it became natural. And what I hear you saying is, in terms of the communication, is we first have to look at maybe some of our destructive patterns to say, wait, we're doing it wrong here, and then work through it.
I don't have this thought refined, so it's going to come out in pretty rough form right now for you, Jim. But I have an image in my mind that I want to do in these later years of my practice. I want to kind of create a university, if you will, or a place where couples can really look at their golf game, their communication game. Because, you know, reading a book really is wonderful, and I want to sell many of these. Sure. But that's not, you know, that's not going to do it. You know, we really do need some third person that will look at us like the golf coach. You know, a golf coach, what they will do, they'll take a video of you, and they will slow it down to micro movements and go, oh, you dipped your shoulder. You did. And I do the same thing in counseling with couples. Did you notice your body posture right there? Did you notice the inflection in your voice? Did you notice? And so sometime, you know, when I just have nothing to do, which that day may not come, but I'd love to create a little university where I say to couples, we're going to come in and we're going to look at the micro movements so that you can see what you're doing wrong and we're going to fix it. Because, man, I mean, think about how simple it really is. If we can notice the things that make our relationships flow smoothly and correct them, and look at the things that take us down and correct them, we're going to be in a much better space.
Fabulous idea. When we come back, we want to keep talking about this. I actually want to talk about men who clam up and women who are crowbars.
Yes.
We'll have to unpack that one in just a moment. We're talking today about better communication with your spouse. Don't go away. A lot more to come on Homeward. I'm Jim Burns.
Kind of a marriage theme this week here on the Homeward broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns today talking with author David Hawkins. Saying it so he'll hear you. It's so important to make sure that it's heard, not just said. Jim's written an outstanding book on marriage called Creating an Intimate Marriage. And if you'd like information on how to order a copy and support the ministry of Homeward at the same time, just go to homeward.com and homeward.com. Or if you have any questions, you can call us toll free at 800-397-9725. More Homeward with Dr. Jim Burns in just a moment. Do stay with us.
My husband would yell at our kids. That's probably because he's never home.
Yeah, my wife's a great cook. If you like eating frozen food every night of the week.
Every marriage is going to have its share of sore spots. However, when things are getting too negative all the time, well, that's a clear indication that your marriage is deteriorating. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Take the next couple of moments and really think about the way you talk with your spouse. And also, note the way your spouse talks to you. If the communication between the two of you is mostly negative, where you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and relearn some basic communication skills. All of us develop a few bad communication habits that have probably been hanging around our marriages for far too long. So get with a counselor who can help you start on the right track for creating an intimate marriage, one where communication leads to connectedness. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, and for a free copy of my new tip sheet called Creating an Intimate Marriage, you can go to homeward.com.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Dr. David Hawkins with us. We're talking about better communication with your spouse. David Hawkins is the advice columnist for Crosswalk, marriage and family therapist, has written a wonderful book called Say It So He'll Listen. You can have better communication with the man of your life. I just read this book, and I think it's great for the woman of my life as well, and I can do some work on this. It's very good. Again, we're talking today about better communication with your spouse. Everybody needs it. Pretty much all authorities say that people who are struggling in their marriage are probably struggling in the area of communication. David, before we took a break, I talked about two phrases that you use in your book. One is that men clam up, and the other is that women are kind of like crowbars. You've got to unpack that for us.
Well, it's very, very common for couples to get into this pattern. It's a very destructive pattern. Men feel this anxiety, this tension, this frustration in the relationship. And because we're fix-it, because we want to get in there and fix the thing, and yet we don't have the tools. So, I mean, just imagine, I mean, I'm not a mechanic. And so, you know, whenever I start tinkering with my car, it's just not a pretty picture. I get frustrated. I get angry. I get tense because I don't know what I'm doing. And so in the area of emotions and relationships, the standing joke, forgive me, men, all men that are listening right now, you know, I ask my, when I do a group therapy with some men, I ask them, okay, let's name some emotions. Anger.
Sure.
What's another one? Mad. What's another one? Really mad. You know.
That's so true.
Well, so true. It's classical, but it's so true. And so you ask them to name the parts of a car. Oh boy, piston, rings, cylinders. Da da da. They can just go forever. Or name names of football team players, so on. Okay, so they know what they're
Roger,
doing.
Roger over here, he can tell you the 1953 third baseman for the LA Dodgers.
Stats. Oh, he's a stat guy.
It's pretty
scary. He's a stat. Okay, Seattle Mariners go. Anyway, so men are out of their element when we talk about relationships. And so what happens is then they feel this frustration, they feel the tension. Women are more verbal, you know that. I mean, it's so classical, it's so standard. So they will come at the man in a relationship. They will, we'll get to one of the C's is concise, but we will get there. So they use too many words. So a man then feeling inferior, feeling frustrated, he is either going to clam up or blow up. Those are the two things he knows how to do. And he really does know how to clam up. He just with, I mean, he can be sullen and angry and just go to his shop, go to his stay at work or whatever, and he's gonna clam up. Women then are left with, I mean, so what do I do? I get all these phone calls from women. Okay, what do I do? My man's clamming up. Or if I try to crowbar him out of his being a clam, he will blow up, and that won't work very well. So those are, they are stereotypes, Jim, but they are true. Women want to get in there. They want to relate. They want a, you know, women are dying for a relationship with their man. I mean, literally, they're just literally becoming emaciated almost emotionally. They want a relationship with their man so badly. And we're going to talk about some of the C words that I thought about, you know, what can we do to break this pattern of men withdrawing, with retreating, or the opposite, blowing up. And that's a whole program. I don't know if you've done much about that. Is angry, rageful men, and there are a whole bunch of them out there, and they are because they just don't know how to unpack. There's that word, how to unpack all the emotions they are feeling, and how to communicate effectively to get the problem solved.
Crowbars. Talk about that.
Well, crowbars are women who, generally women, who are frustrated. They want a relationship. And so this man has, you just have this picture of a man literally, here's a cliche, going into his shell. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right. The word picture we need to use. So this man is going into his shell or going into his cave. And so we really do have across our country, men who have just evaporated. They're here today, gone tomorrow. They're just literally gone. And I mean, they're gone spiritually, they're gone emotionally, and so women have this tool called a crowbar, and she's going to try, usually with some aggression. She's going to be angry, she's going to attack, she's going to chip away at him, and then we have these men who are saying, you know what, if you would just leave me alone, and they don't use that language, you know, they've got some expletives in there, if you'd leave me alone, I would just be fine. Well, of course, that's not true. So I get women who call me and say, I'm trying, the crowbar doesn't work. Of course it doesn't, because he doesn't want to be chipped away at. He doesn't want someone with a crowbar. And so what we're going to flesh out, Jim, is we're going to talk about how to create an atmosphere where a man is more likely than not. And that's all I'm promising here. I'm not promising, hey women, if you practice these 7 C's, you know, everything's going to work out fabulously. It's an uphill climb for some men. It really is. So, but put the crowbar down. Just don't do it. Don't attack. Don't try to chip away at him. Don't even in some small words that you use, that he's going to, back to what we said a few minutes ago, Jim, if he becomes defensive, know that you're doing something ineffective. Just let's let that sink in again. If he becomes defensive, game over. Stop, because it's not going to work. You can keep hammering him with words. You can pummel him with words with that crowbar. You can pummel him with the words. But, I mean, do it if you want to do it. But it's not effective.
Now, I want to talk about being effective. We're going to talk about it the whole time next time. But I want to talk about these 7 C's. I want to go into the very first one. And that's the only one we'll get to today.
Okay.
And the first of the C's is to say it calmly. Boy, that sure doesn't happen sometimes in communication.
You know, Jim, and it's so basic. I mean, just think about it. Who wants to be talked to in an aggressive manner? Who wants to be talked to even with a tone that is elevated? Who wants to be talked to with a tone that's sarcastic or biting? I mean, there's nobody that wants to do that. I mean, it just is. I mean, the Apostle James talks all about the tongue and talks all about manage. You know, we have to manage our emotions. Couples don't like to hear that, and women, I'm going to step on your toes here. I know you don't want to hear it. You don't want me to say to you, you must manage your emotion. You must. Before you say word one to your husband, to your mate, to your boyfriend, whoever we're talking about, you must have been managing your emotions, preparing for this encounter. And if you're not, if you fly off the handle, if you shoot, you know, just jump to conclusions, if you just say it the way you want to say it, it will turn out badly for you. So step one is, first of all, we have to prepare our hearts. We have to pray. We have to be in a place where we hear God saying, okay, you know, you've done some internal work. You are prepared to, you've dealt with your own stuff. You are now ready to say what you need to say to your mate. You don't have a right. I want to say this again emphatically. You don't have a right to just shoot off with what you want to say. I mean, you can do that, but it will turn out badly for you.
It's not going to work. Listen, we have so much to say. I need to ask you to come back next time so we can get through these seven C's.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Dr. David Hawkins here on the Homeward Broadcast. YourRelationshipDoctor.com is where you'll find Dr. Hawkins online. And our theme today, saying it so he'll hear you, it's more important to have it heard than to have it said. Jim, a lot of people tune to the Homeward program for parenting advice. We talk about marriage from time to time because it's so important for us to understand how communication works in the marriage relationship. And I know there are a lot of wives who were helped with today's discussion. A lot of husbands were helped with today's discussion as well.
You know what? It was great for me as a guy. And I think sometimes I communicate with Kathy better than, you know, the average guy. And then I have a conversation with David like this, and I say, you know what, there's room for improvement.
There's always
but
room.
I think there are a lot of wives listening who would be happy if they had any kind of conversation with their husbands.
That's true.
You know, it really is that way. A lot of men really don't do the conversation thing very well.
Right.
And that's why I'm glad we've had David with us on this program today. He's got some, I think, pretty practical tips for helping women put their thoughts and their feelings into language that us guys can really get a hold of, and it can help in marriage in a big way. Before the break, David and I were talking about the importance of setting a good tone for communication to take place. I want to talk about this for a little bit more because I believe that this is essential. If we don't set a good tone for communication to take place, then the result will be either poor communication or no communication at all. And so much of it is about attitude. When I was writing the book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, it kept coming back to this fact that you set the tone, you set the atmosphere for good and positive communication. So many times we want to blame our spouse on it. Well, let me offer a couple of ideas on how we can get a good tone for communication to take place. First of all, we need to always make sure that we say things in a calm and controlled way, no matter how strong our feelings are about what we're saying. In James 3, 9, and 10, it says, "With our tongues we speak both praises and curses. We praise our Lord and Father, and we curse people who were created to be like God." And this just isn't right. That's what James said. Not only is it not right for this, it doesn't set the tone, obviously, for a good communication to take place as well. Secondly, it's essential that we make the issue of good communication a matter of consistent prayer in our lives. Jesus said in Luke 6 that our words show what's in our hearts, and the only one who will really change our hearts is God. And if the things that you say to your spouse are hurtful and hinder good communication, then you may have a heart issue. Take some time, even today, to ask God to begin to transform your heart so that the words that spring up from it will build up your spouse and lead to good communication. And if you'd like to know more about how you can become a better communicator in your marriage, well, Roger has a couple of resources to share with you.
Actually, Jim, the resources are one that I mentioned earlier, Creating an Intimate Marriage, a book that Dr. Jim Burns has written about how important it is for husbands and wives to be intentional about setting the tone in marriage. And you can order a copy of that book directly from our online resource center at homeward.com. And also, Jim, the other book I wanted to mention is one that you and your wife, Kathy, written together. It's a labor of love for you, and it's one that came out of a very personal experience, and it's one that we love to talk about here on the Homeward Broadcast. Tell us about Closer.
Exactly. It's the only book we've ever written together. We always say we have a high-maintenance marriage, and so even writing that book, we had some moments writing it. But, you know, it's a devotional book, Roger, and how it got started was Kathy and I had tried every devotional known to humankind. I mean, we wanted to grow in spiritual intimacy. It's often the least investigated part of intimacy in a marriage. And it was for us, I would say. And we were talking with a couple, kind of mentor couple to us. And I said, "What do you guys do?" And they said, "Well, we spend 20 minutes a week." And I thought, well, that sounds wimpy. You know, he was a Christian leader. And yet, as we were driving home, Kathy looked at me and she said, "You know, I'd like to do that. It's not even on my top list," but it was on hers. And so we started something that we called Closer Time, which was about 20 minutes a week. And we would look at a scripture. We would oftentimes talk about a subject, and then we'd pray, oftentimes praying for our kids and whatnot. A lot of couples have trouble doing that. Well, to make a long story short, a publisher had heard me talk about this. He said, "Why don't you write a book?" So Kathy and I wrote a book called Closer. And it's now one of the best-selling devotionals, you know, in the Christian world on marriage. And what we do is we challenge people for 20 minutes a week. And it's on topics that are important to marriage. It has a little scripture, and then it has typically a story, and then there's something called Faith Conversations. Kathy and I went through it recently, interesting enough, even though we wrote the book, and she read it to me. You know, it took a few minutes, and then we talk about it, and it's really been a great, great part of the Homeward Resource Center, if you would.
Well, it certainly has been a popular book as well, one of the most popular devotional books to be released in the last couple of years. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. However, I should point out, as I do quite often here on the program, if you order any of Jim Burns' books directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds, first of all, you get a good price, but second, a portion of the proceeds actually goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward. That's a tax-deductible donation, and we truly appreciate that. Go to homeward.com for more information, or if you have any questions, you can ask for Deb or Becca at 800-397-9725. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.